good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us here this morning, to get out of bed when it's such a cold morning and be here with us. This is a special morning. Not only is it the Lord's Day, but today we have our children singing right after service. So if your family or extended family or friends are here today, we're glad that you came here today. And so at the end of service, the kids will be singing a few Christmas songs and looking forward to that. If you happen to miss any of the messages in this series or any of our other series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. It's great to have you with us. Well, we're in the second week of this series, Christmas, and in John chapter 3, verse 30, the Apostle John says he, that is Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Jesus must become greater and greater in our lives, and we must become less and less. Unfortunately, our world doesn't live by this verse. Christmas has become less and less about Christ and more about a happy holiday. However, the truth is, without Christ, without Jesus, there is no happy holiday, right? Put another way, there is no joy. When you take Christ out of Christmas, when you take Jesus out of Christmas, all you're left with is moss. How would I define that word, moss? How would I define moss? More of what this world has to offer. What does this world have to offer us? Emptiness, right? What the world has to offer is empty. We saw this young lady in this opening video. She's saying, I've tried everything that I thought would fulfill me, that I thought would satisfy me for a time or season in my life, and it left me feeling empty. At one time, the earth was formless and empty. However, God changed all that. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Was that light enough? No. Why? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, that light became darkness. So what did God do? Let's look here at what he did. 1 John 1, 6 through 9. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus was coming into the world. Perhaps you've been living in the dark. Perhaps you've been living in the dark. How do you know if you're living in the dark? How do you know that? Well, you're lost all the time, and you can't find your way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does this mean? Well, it means without him in your life, without Jesus in your life, you're going to be lost. What's the truth? Well, the truth is, he is the only one who can give you a rich and satisfying life. Now, last week we talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Was she satisfied with her life? Yes. How do we know this? Because she submitted her life to the Lord. Today we're going to look at Zechariah and Elizabeth. Were they satisfied with their life? Well, not exactly. Not exactly. Why? Because they were unable to conceive, right? Elizabeth was unable to have a baby, a child. Well, what's their story? You know the story, but just to refresh your memory, let's jump right back into Scripture. Luke 1, verse 5 says this. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both getting older. Now, I don't know about you, but my wife Monica and I, we can relate to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Monica was unable to conceive. She was unable to have a child, and we were both getting older. And I was content to a certain degree, but Monica wasn't. Monica wanted a baby, and I certainly didn't want to deny her one. Do you remember what happened to Oann when he denied Tamar a child? Perhaps you remember that story back in Genesis. There's a verse there that spoke to me, or verses. Let's look at that. Genesis 38, verse 9 says this, "But Oann was not willing to have a child who would not be his own heir. So whenever he had intercourse with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground. This prevented her from having a child who would belong to his brother. But the Lord considered it evil, a bad thing, it was wrong, for Oann to what? Deny a child to his dead brother. So the Lord took Oann's life too." I don't believe the Lord was fixing to take my life. Why? Because this situation with Oann and Tamar was just a little bit different. Nevertheless, I believe God spoke to me through these verses. I also believe that what God wanted from our union was godly children. Right? We know that passage in Malachi. In fact, the lady talked about it when she talked about marriage and how God hates divorce. Malachi 2:15 says this, "Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his." And what does he want? What does God want from our marriage? Well, he wants godly children from your union. So guard your heart and remain loyal to the wife of your youth. And Monica, my wife, had been praying for a child for a long time, many years. She believed God told her she'd have a child. Now, I knew I was the holdup. And I wanted to be the answer to her prayer. So finally, I surrendered to God. I surrendered to God so he could use me as he saw fit. Getting back to our story, did Zechariah surrender to God? I would say yes and no. He believed, but he also doubted. I think in a lot of ways, he's just like us sometimes. We believe, but we have some doubts, right? We believe things are going to work out, things are going to be okay in our life, right? In the situation, in the problem that we're dealing with right now that's heavy on your heart, you believe, we believe God's in control, but we're just not sure. We have some doubts. And I think that's where Zechariah was. Nevertheless, God did something miraculous in Zechariah's life. Let's read on here in our story. Verse 8. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot. It seems random. It seems as if that's an accident, like as if the dice were thrown and he happened to be chosen. He was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Well, what is it I want you to notice here? I pointed out those words, chosen by lot. Chosen by lot. There were many priests at that time. There was a large number But the Lord determines how they fall. If I ever go to Vegas again, I'll have to remember this verse. Lord, make him turn the right way. Right? We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how things shake out, how things fall. What is it I want you to know? When you gave your life to Christ, when you gave your life to Jesus, when it became personal for you, when it became real for you, when you entered into a relationship with Jesus, believing that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day, a change took place in your heart. You now belong to him. Because you belong to him, he's always working behind the scenes in your life. You may say, well, Ed, how come I don't always see it? Perhaps, because you haven't fully surrendered to him and his will. Right? Perhaps you haven't fully surrendered to him and his will. You may remember Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. What do we know about God's will? What do we know about God's will? God's will is always good and pleasing and perfect. What happened when Zechariah was in the sanctuary, in the temple there? What happened when he was in there? I'll tell you what happened. God's good, pleasing, and perfect will was fulfilled. Let's continue on verse 11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. I imagine so. You see an angel, right? You're going to be a little shaken up, a little overwhelmed, shaken with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Don't be afraid today. God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. Perhaps you feel like God doesn't hear your prayers. You're like, Ed, I pray to the Lord, but sometimes I feel like he's not hearing my prayers. My prayers aren't getting through to him. Well, why is that? Well, it could be, because you really haven't humbled yourself before the Lord. In fact, the Lord says this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord says, then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the things, their wicked ways, from the things they know they shouldn't be doing, if they'll turn from that stuff and that junk, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. It's time you and me humble ourselves before the Lord. We collectively and individually need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Why? Because when we do, he will forgive our sins and restore our land, restore our community, our county, our state, our nation, our marriage. He will restore the things that are important to us. If we just say, Lord, here I am. Do with me as you see fit. I surrender to you. May your will be done in my life and not my will and what I want. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to do this. They don't want to humble themselves before the Lord. They don't want to submit to him. What happens when people don't humble themselves before the Lord? What happens to people who don't humble themselves and say, Lord, here I am? You know what? they miss out on the joy and the gladness that could be theirs. They miss out on the joy and the gladness that could be theirs. They think they have joy without Jesus. They think they're glad without him, but they don't know that they're miserable without him. What would Zechariah experience? What would he experience? Zechariah would experience joy and gladness. Why would he experience this? Why would he experience this? Because his son would turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. Continuing on, verse 14. The Lord says, you, the angel says, you will have great joy and gladness, Zechariah. Let me tell you, God is working. God is doing something here, Zechariah. Just humble yourself. Continue to submit yourself to the Lord because God is working. You're going to have great joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord, this son of yours. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. Many are going to come to Jesus. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. A child does so much for us. I think about our child, Eden Joy. She turned 8 years old today. Today's her birthday. She was so excited this morning. I don't know if it was because her birthday or because she was singing today. It's amazing how excited they get to sing up here on stage. What was John's mission? What was John the Baptist? What was his mission? To prepare people for the coming of the Lord. Well, what's our mission here at Stone Ridge? What's our mission? We don't have any other agenda other than this. To lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our mission. We want to help you grow in your walk and relationship with Jesus. We believe that's the most important thing in life. What does someone who is in a growing relationship with Jesus do? Well, we believe that someone who's growing in their walk and relationship with the Lord does three things. They pursue intimacy with God. We want to help you grow by reading your Bible, encourage you to read your Bible. We believe they pursue and they get into community with insiders. That we have Bible studies here, events here, things here at this church to connect us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the third thing they do is they influence outsiders. They influence people outside this church. People you work with every day. People at school. How do we influence people outside our church? How do we influence people outside these four walls? By sharing the good news with them. Sharing the good news. What's the good news? Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day? Man, that's good news. What did Peter have to say about sharing this good news? In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain your faith, your testimony, your story. Could you explain it to your classmates, your teammates, your coworkers, your friends, your family this Christmas? Could you explain what's has taken place. Could you explain it? Your testimony, your story matters. And your testimony or your story should include three things. Three simple, basic things. What was your life like before Christ? Before you became a Christian, before you surrendered your life to Jesus, what was your life like? Maybe it was a colorful life, right? Like the lady in this opening video. Or maybe it was just a sense of an emptiness. Something was amiss. Something was off. What was your life like before Christ? When did a change take place? Something changed when? For the lady in this video, she said, it's when I opened up God's Word and I saw a verse that spoke to me. And it said, God hates divorce. And it was like a switch went off in me. When did a change take place for you? Maybe somebody said something to you. Maybe someone shared a verse with you. Maybe you came to church and you're like, Ed, I hear the Lord speaking to me for the first time. The third thing you should have in your testimony is, what is your life like now that you know Christ? What's your life like now? Right now that you know Jesus, I think about things differently. I have a desire to go to church. I want to go. I get up on a morning when it's below zero to go, right? A change was about to take place in Zechariah's life. A change was about to take place in his life. However, he wasn't exactly sure how this would happen. Let's get back to our story, verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you didn't believe, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. Oh, I like this last phrase, these last words. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. God is never late. He's always on time. And not just his words here, but the entirety of Scripture will be fulfilled in his time. So what is God saying to you today? As I'm speaking here, what is God saying to you? And do you believe it? Do you believe it? For those of you who don't know him, you're here today and maybe this is your first time ever in church or in a long time. Maybe you're like, Ed, I don't know him personally. I know I'm not growing. You know what the Lord is saying to you? He's saying, give me your heart. Maybe that's a heart that's a little stony, become a little stubborn and a little hard. And God's saying, you give me that and I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. I'll change you from the inside out. Ezekiel 36:26. The Lord says, and I will give you what? I'll give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you, my Holy Spirit. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I'll change your heart. I'll change your attitude. For those of you who do know him, you have a relationship with him, you know what he's saying to you? He's saying, believe me. Believe me when I tell you what I have planned for your life. Believe me when I tell you, right? Things may not be where you want them to be right now. At your school, on your team, in your class, at your home, in your workplace. But believe me when I tell you what I have planned for you. What does God have planned for you and me? Jeremiah 29:11, you know the verses. For the Lord says, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me, how? If you look for me wholeheartedly, if you look for me with all your heart, says the Lord, I'm going to listen. I haven't forgotten about you and your situation. I know every hair on your head. Doesn't have to count as high for me now. Not so many hairs. Are you looking for the Lord wholeheartedly? Are you looking for Him with all your heart? Zechariah wasn't looking for the Lord wholeheartedly. Why? Because he doubted. I'm not so sure. What was the result? He ended up trying and testing the Lord's patience. And I can't help but think that you and me test the Lord's patience. He reveals His good, pleasing, and perfect will for our life. However, we're not interested in His will. We're not interested. Why? Because we don't believe His will is best for our lives? Oh, we wouldn't say that. We wouldn't say that, but that's how we live sometimes. Instead of seeking Him wholeheartedly with all of our hearts, we seek after other things. Things we believe will make us happy. But they don't. No doubt Zechariah was happy. He was going to be a dad, a father. No greater joy than that. But he was unable to speak about it. He couldn't talk about it. However, that turned out to be a good thing. Why? Because it served as a sign to the people that God was doing something. About to wrap up here. Verse 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and the silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. He saw something. He saw that God was working. He saw that God was moving. Can you see that the Lord is working in your life? Can you see it? Can you see that God is working in your life? Elizabeth could see that God was working in her life. How do we know this? Because she praised the Lord for His kindness. Last verse is verse 23. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months.